We are continuing tonight our series of lessons out of Luke 15. We had a general lesson on seeking the lost, and then last week we talked about the lost sheep. Tonight we're talking about the lost coin. Next Sunday, Isaac will preach both times. I will be in a meeting in East Tennessee at Oneida. That is the congregation that Nathan Sexton is from. Nathan's with us, you know, quite a bit. And it's a town where my wife lived when she was in the 4th through the 8th grade, and her dad preached there at two different times. I'm looking forward to going back and being with them. So Isaac will be preaching next Sunday both times, and then we'll come back to Luke 15 the Sunday nights that I'm here. Let's look at verses 8 through 10 tonight. That's the section that we're going to be covering. And it says, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And he says, Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." As we pointed out last week, there are some likenesses with all three of these stories that are told in Luke 15. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost boy. They are alike in that each one of them was in the appropriate place at the beginning of the story, or at least the indication of the beginning. The sheep was with the other 99. The coin was with the other 9, at least the woman that had it at one point. And the boy was at home before he left. They're all alike in that as we see the stories, something or someone is lost and needs help. They are alike in that effort is put forth and that there is rejoicing when the one that is lost is found or is brought home. But there are some differences, and as we look at the lost coin tonight, there is especially this difference in comparison with, in contrast with the other two. The coin was lost in the house. The sheep was lost out away from the other sheep. The boy went into what's called a far country. Whether that far there is intended to suggest a long ways away or at least a long ways in the type of living that was done, he went into a far country away from home. But the coin was lost right in the house. I've tried to imagine the situation and think of distance and would guess that the coin was only a few feet away from the 9 coins that were in the possession of the lady. May have been in the same room where she was, but it was lost. And I'm sure that all of us have had the experience of losing something, as we say, right under our noses, and can't find it even though it's right there. And I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but have you noticed that every time you're hunting for something, that when you find it the last place you looked? And you'll also find it the last place where you put it. And this is going off the subject for just a moment, but something that has helped me and that I've used down through the years, if I lose something, I try to think back to the time that I know I had it. What's the last time that I know I had that item? And then I begin to trace my steps of where I went after that, and usually I can find most anything if I will use that approach. But the coin was lost in the house. Now, let me raise the question for our consideration tonight. What does this coin represent? I believe the boy represents a person that left Christ and left the church and went off into the mire of sin. I believe the sheep represents a person who just quit coming to the assemblies and quit being involved in the Lord's work, and just wandered away, not doing any harm to itself or to anybody else, just wandered away. And we know of people that would fit in both of those categories. But I think we have a little bit more difficulty identifying with what's represented here by the coin. Why did Jesus include this? Why did he make a distinction between the sheep and the coin and the boy? I believe that there is a purpose involved. And I think I would say that probably those of us that are here tonight need to consider this story more than we do the other two. I doubt that any of us will have much problem of going off like the prodigal son into a far country and get into riotous living. Probably there would be none of us, or at least very few of us, who would just quit the work of the Lord completely like the sheep. But I think we may be able to at least see the possibility that we could be like the coin that's lost in the house. As I considered this, I went through God's Word and tried to find some places where something is described that may fit into the category that's the lost coin here in Luke 15. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, at verse 8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts far from me." That's a person who gives lip service. Now, let me point out as we begin to describe these that we need to be careful when we're judging the hearts of other people. We observe things that are going on and we think we know basically how another person looks at life and how he thinks, but really we don't. We never really know what's on the inside of another person. But I believe that I have observed people in the church who gave lip service, who were not really totally converted to Christ, and certainly who were not involved in the Lord's service. They might even be someone that would come to the services and would sing to the top of their voices, but they really weren't converted on the inside. They really weren't ready to give themselves to the Lord in His work. They really weren't committed to the Lord. Their heart was not in it. You know, I guess all of us have had the experience of doing something where we would go ahead and do it, but we really didn't want to. The heart was not in it. And so he says here, as he's talking about these particular people, and by the way, it's in the context of vain worship. He said, these people are those that give lip service, but their heart is not really in it. Many times people hold the Lord's work back because they talk about it and won't do anything about it. Giving lip service, making you think that they're behind everything that's happening, and yet really down deep, they don't care that much about the Lord's work. I think that could be one who's like this coin. In the second place, I'm reminded of a statement that's in that chapter that most of us know as called the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. In the first part of that chapter, he talks about somebody who is a sounding brass. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, in other words, if I don't have my heart right, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's my understanding that the sounding brass there at least leaves the idea of a big brass ball that looks like it's solid and yet it's hollow on the inside. And if you thump it, it will make that hollow sound, a sounding brass, which is not unlike the lip service that we talked about a moment ago. I'm also reminded of a passage back in Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5, where the writer of Ecclesiastes, the wise man, said, you need to pay attention to the vows that you make. Do not make a vow and fail to keep it. And he goes ahead and says that God had rather have you not make a vow at all than to make a vow and not keep it. And in that passage, God even calls such a person a fool for doing that. How many times do people in the church make promises and not keep it? Sometimes at a business meeting, someone will say, well, I'll do that. And then a month later or 6 months later, nothing has been done. We can very easily promise that we will do something and not carry it out and be like the sounding brass. And I think that that would come under this coin that's lost in the house. A person maybe comes to the assemblies and seems to be involved and is always ready to volunteer and promise, but never gets anything done that he promises that he will do. Can one be lost like that? I believe so. One who makes promises, in some instances, intends to keep them and doesn't, and perhaps in some instances, doesn't really intend to keep the promises that he makes when he makes those promises. He's like a hollow sound. He's like a sounding brass. Another passage that comes to mind that I think explains this lost coin to some extent is the one talent man in Matthew 25, the hidden talent. Don't you think there are a lot of people in the church who have talents that they won't use, who have the ability to do things for God and in His work and in His cause that they don't do? Many times we'll make the excuse that I'm just not capable of that or I can't do that. I've had some instances in the church where a man would say, I can't participate in public worship. I just could not get before a crowd and read a scripture or lead a public prayer. And then I happened to go to a civic club, and by the way, he's the president of it. And he's up in front of that group of people presiding at the meeting and leading the meeting. And I began to wonder, what's going on here? A person says, I can't do anything in public. And I've had the experience many times down through the years in congregations, especially larger congregations, where we would have several people in the congregation that were public school teachers. But we could not get them to teach a Bible class. I'm not capable of doing that. They make a living teaching others and yet are not willing to use their talents in the Lord's service to teach a Bible class. Wouldn't that be just like the coin? You see, really what happened with the coin is that its value could not be used. It still had the value of each of the other nine, assuming they were all of the same type coins. But it was not with the other nine. And if the lady wanted to buy something that cost the value of the 10 coins, she only had 9 of them. That other coin had the value with it, but it couldn't be used because it was not with the others and she couldn't count on it. She didn't know where it was. In the work of the church, how many times do we have people who have the ability to do something and they won't do it? I've always felt that it's better to go ahead and maybe not do as well as you would like to do as to just do nothing. And maybe down through the years I've been too much like that. But I've always tried to be ready to volunteer if I'm needed or to step in and do the best I can do if I am needed. One of the first things I told Isaac when we were talking about the work here and knew that he was going to come, I said, you be sure that you've always got one sermon that you could preach with 5 minutes' notice. I've had that happen to me. I came to church one night at Henderson back several years ago, and our youth minister was scheduled to speak that night, but he had forgotten it. And when I got to church, he was leading the singing, and I knew something wasn't right. And I saw one of the elders, and I said, he's supposed to preach tonight. It was time to start the service, and he was up starting the singing. That elder turned around and said, what are we going to do? I said, well, you're the leader. You tell us what to do. I knew what we were going to do. I knew what was going to happen. And I positioned myself that night in the services in a place different from where I normally sat, just to be ornery. And I did have my eyes on that elder, and the fellow that was leading the singing, who was supposed to preach, got down and announced the invitation song and sat down. I just sat there. And I looked over at that elder and he went, well, I just happened to have a sermon in mind that I had kept. I always keep at least one. Of course, after preaching a while, I've got several if I'm not at my home congregation that I can come up with. But you never know. We need to be ready. I went for a meeting back a few years ago up in my home county, a very small congregation. They didn't have many men in the congregation, really just one that would take the leadership. And I got there that night, and he had developed hoarseness. And he said, "You're going to lead the singing." I said, "Okay." I said, "Who's leading the prayer?" He said, "You are." I said, "Who's dismissing us?" He said, "You are." And if it had been Sunday morning, we had the Lord's Supper, I think I know who would have waited at the Lord's table. We need to be ready to do the best that we can do. And most of the time, we have people sitting in the pew who can do a good job in doing something that needs to be done in the church who are not willing to do it. There are several of you men in the congregation tonight who could lead singing if you were the only one here that could lead singing. Suppose you came sometime and under some circumstances and you were the only man here. What would you do? And if we as Christian men cannot lead a prayer, something is wrong. We may not lead one just like somebody else. One person got up to lead a prayer and he was very nervous and he said, "Father, bless us in every way that we need." And he went blank. Couldn't think of anything else to say. Somebody told him later on, "If you'd have just said amen, that would have been sufficient." And I think it is. We need to be ready to use our talents to the best of our ability. You see, we're not in competition with one another. And it doesn't matter whether when I'm preaching, I preach better than somebody else or not as well as someone else or not as good as someone else in preaching. It matters whether or not I'm sound in the gospel and I'm willing to do the best that I can do. And that one talent man had a talent. In this case, it was money that was given to him to use and to invest. But it represents the idea of the ability. In fact, it does say in that story that each one was given these talents according to his ability. That man, as the owner saw it, didn't have as much ability as the others, but he had some ability. And he gave him something to use with the ability that he could use. And where the problem was, he didn't use his ability. Some time ago, there was a black congregation that was talking about building a new building. And the preacher got up and he said, "Let me tell you folks something. There's enough money in this auditorium right now to build this building." He said, "It's in your pockets. And we got to get it out. But there's enough money in this auditorium to build the building." Well, I think in most instances, financially and otherwise, we're able to do more than we think we are. And if we're willing just to sit and do nothing, and not use our talents in the Lord's service, wouldn't we be like this coin? We have value that could be used, and yet the value is not with the others. And I'm thankful that our talents are different. I'm thankful that we have ladies who are capable of doing many of the things that you do. And I'm thankful that we have men that can do some things that other men can't do. And if all of us work together, almost anywhere, I think anywhere in a congregation this size at least, we should have the talent to do anything we need to do. And we just want to be sure that we're not like that lost coin. We might also think of it as somebody who's lazy. Be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:12. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. Romans 12 and verse 11. Some people are just downright lazy, physically speaking. And some seem to be that way, spiritually speaking. And here's an area that I especially want to mention for this congregation. And I think this coin can take the form of being spiritually retired. We have a lot of members in the congregation here that are older. And as we get older, we may have to change our speed of doing things. We may not be able to do as much as we did when we were younger. But there's no such thing as spiritual retirement for the Christian. And we may have to back up on some of the things that we used to do. Brother Denton was just talking tonight about the fact that he's not in a position to where he feels like he can lead singing as he has down through the years. And I respect that. And yet, he went ahead to say that I will lead when I'm needed. I'll do the best that I can when I'm needed. I've had many older people say, well, I've put in my time, now let the younger ones do it. Well, we may need to step back sometime as we get older and let younger ones step in and do things, but God needs the older people as well as he needs the younger ones. I like to think of it like this. He needs the experience and wisdom of the older people and the energy of the younger people. If we have either one of those lacking, we've got problems. If we don't have some younger people coming on and we recognize the need of that, we may eventually not have the energy that we would like to have in the Lord's work. But if we turn around and do everything just to satisfy the younger ones and listen to them all the time, we don't have the wisdom of the older people. One of the biggest problems that Rehoboam had when he began to rule after his father was he went to the older men and asked them what to do, and they told him. He went to the younger men and asked them what to do, and they gave him a different message. And the Bible says he listened to the younger men and did not listen to the wisdom of the older men. And you know the rest of the story of the divided kingdom of Israel. We don't need to ever retire in the Lord's service. I had an unusual experience when I was in Tullahoma. When I moved there, we had four elders. One of the elders was unable to attend the services. Now, in every place that I'd been before, if a man got to where he couldn't attend the services, he always retired as an elder. But in this case, this man had not retired. I sort of thought to myself, this is unusual, but I hadn't been there long until I realized the situation. That man continued to serve as an elder and serve well as an elder from his bed. In this particular case, he knew the history of the congregation. He had been there from the beginning, basically, of the congregation. He knew what had happened. He had in his mind the things that was happening. He was still sharp. He used his phone to stay in contact with the members. The other elders would go over to his house and meet with him there in his room and still have the benefit of his expertise and experience. He continued to serve as an elder long after he was unable to be in the services. Normally, I would think that was not best. But here was a case where I saw it work, that he was able to contribute maybe as much as any elder. And in cases where he couldn't go out and visit in somebody's home, people would come and visit him. He probably had as much contact with the people and continuing to do the work that he was doing. And he did that as long as he lived. Luckily, his mind, or with God's blessings, his mind was sharp until he died. And he honestly never did retire from the work of the Lord. Many changes had to be made in his life, but he continued to do what he could do. We had another member in Tullahoma, a lady that never married. She was in a wheelchair when I moved there and stayed in a wheelchair. I mean by that, she could not walk. She was a wheelchair patient until she died. If I were to guess, I would guess that that woman made more contact with more people in that congregation on a daily basis than even I did, than anybody did. She sat in her wheelchair by her phone. She had a list of all the birthdays and anniversaries of everybody in that congregation. And everybody got a call from her on that day. And if she knew of somebody that was sick and she could check, she used her phone sitting by her wheelchair and did more work for the Lord than most of us have ever done. We need to realize that our talents are important in the Lord's service. And one thing that I would point out, and I hadn't really intended to do this when I was preparing the lesson, but one thing that will help us in this area is to learn to be ourselves. Each one of us be himself and quit trying to be like somebody else. I can't do what some of you can do. Some of you may not be able to do what I can do. But each one of us can use his own talents and put them to work in the Lord's service. And if we don't, we may be like that lost coin. I also think that the lost coin that's in the house may include the idea of being a fault finder. Now, I will cover this more when we get to another lesson in this series on the elder brother. That's the lesson that will deal with having the wrong attitude, though we're even in the services. But I think that many times the lost coin may be that one that's in the house at all the services, but all he can do is just find fault with others. Now, all of us have faults, and all of us need to be concerned about helping each other with our faults. But I've known some people, haven't you, that all they could do was find fault with everything that took place. They could find fault with every preacher and every leader and every song leader and everybody in the congregation. Even had a few tell me down through the years, I have difficulty observing the Lord's Supper because I sit on a seat with somebody and I know their life is not like it ought to be. And all I can think about when the Lord's Supper's passed is the kind of life they're living. If I'm not badly mistaken, the Bible says when we take the Lord's Supper, I'm supposed to be thinking about myself. And considering myself that I take it in the right way and with the right attitude so that it's not observed unworthily. I have a little story that I tell sometime in after-dinner speeches about the man that was hard to please. His wife just couldn't please him. One morning he came in for breakfast. She said, "What do you want?" He said, "Two eggs. How would you like them cooked? One fried and one scrambled." She fried one egg, scrambled the other, set it on the plate in front of him. He looked down with a frown. She said, "What's wrong?" He said, "You scrambled the wrong egg." And I think that's about the way it is sometimes. We just look for things that are bad. Let me tell you something. You'll be happier in life if you will start looking for things that are good in the life of everybody else. There was a man who died in a certain town, and he was known to be guilty of about any bad thing that you could do. There was another man in that town who was known to find something good in everybody's life. And several of the people made it a point to be close by the casket when that man who was always finding the good came by. They wanted to see what he'd say. They didn't think he could find anything good about this one that had died. He came by and stopped and looked at the man and looked up and said, "I tell you, he was a good whistler." Now, I imagine that there were a lot of bad things that could have been said, but he found one thing at least that he could say that was good. The lost coin is the coin that's lost in the house. Now, what can be done about it? What did the lady do? She first lit a candle. She shed some light on the subject. And for us today, the way we do that is teach God's Word. God's Word is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. Psalms 119, verse 105. And I have found, and I'm sure you have too, that sometimes people who have some of the problems we've been talking about just need some teaching. They need to really sit down and think about what's going on. And they need some teaching. We need to do a better job of teaching God's Word. Sometimes when we disagree with people, instead of making an issue out of it, if we'll take the time to do some teaching and get God's Word across and not run over the feelings of others, it will solve a lot of problems. It also says that she swept the house. That means that she was nearby where the coin was lost. Twice in talking about the leaders of the church, one of them's in 1 Peter 5, and one in 1 Thessalonians 5. He tells the elders to feed the flock that is among you. It's possible we've overlooked that word among. Elders are leaders, but even elders are to be among the congregation. And to know the congregation. And it's sort of like the sweeping idea. That's sweeping throughout the room to find what the needs are, to find that coin. And leaders in the church need to have that attitude, and for that matter, all of us need to have that attitude. And notice she searched diligently, not just putting forth some effort. Well, I'm going to look around, and if I find it, that'll be all right, and if I don't, that'll be okay. She swept diligently. She put forth effort. Remember that passage back in Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thou doest, do with all thy might." not just halfway doing it, but she swept the room diligently until she found that coin and had its value with her. She kept on until she found it. She didn't give up. You may have had the experience of hunting for something, and you hunt and hunt and hunt, but don't ever give up. I lost a picture that was made when I was 8 years old. I started wearing glasses when I was eight. And they came to the elementary school and took the picture, and we'd been out to recess, and I think every hair on my head was standing straight up. Now, I mean, that was quite a picture. I had on bibbed overalls, 8 years old, just started wearing glasses. I kept that picture for several reasons. One, to remind me what I formerly looked like, helped me to appreciate it a little better what I look like now. I lost that picture. I don't know how long, how many years I hunted for it. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I knew I had it. I knew it was in the house somewhere, but I couldn't find it. I went for about 15 years or more. One day I picked up a folder on some subject, and as I was to open that folder, there was my picture. What had happened evidently is I had dropped that picture and it had gone down in that folder without me knowing it. And I hadn't needed that folder for a long time, but I found that picture and I never did give up. I knew it was there and I knew that I would eventually find it, and I did. We ought never to give up on anybody. There have been times that I have thought to myself, that person will never obey the gospel. I've thought, I don't know whether there's any use of ever trying again. But she swept diligently. She kept on until she found it. She never did give up. She kept on until she found it. She got that coin's value back with the ones that she had. How strong do you think the church would be if we could bring back every person who's once been a faithful Christian? You take Justin Jackson, and we probably don't have as many here as some places. How many people do you suppose are in the city of Jackson and Madison County who at one time were right with God? And maybe even some of them attending who are not using their talents in the Lord's service. What do you think would happen to the church? How fast we could grow if we could get all the coins, all the value back in the hands of the one that can use it, as happened in this case. And then I continue to emphasize in each of these lessons that there was rejoicing. There was joy even in heaven among the angels over one that was brought back. That was true with the sheep, it's true with the boy, and it's true with the coin. Rejoicing. We need to learn to rejoice when people turn from what's wrong to doing what's right. We need to rejoice if it's an erring Christian that's just straight away it comes back like the sheep. We need to rejoice if it's like the prodigal son who's gone out into the mire of sin but turns his life around and comes home. And we need to rejoice when we see those in the house, those that are even in attendance, begin to use their talents more and become more involved in the Lord's service. We need to rejoice when we see that kind of growth. Tonight I would emphasize two things, two lessons that we need to get from this lesson. One is in a personal way. We need to constantly take inventory of ourselves to see if we are using our value, our talents, our abilities in the Lord's service. And secondly, we need to work on having the right attitude toward other people. And this is something I think all of us need to work on, to where we appreciate other people and encourage other people to do what God wants them to do and let them know that we appreciate it when they do it. I think those are the two great lessons that we need to get from this particular lesson from Luke 15. Tonight, if you're here and haven't obeyed the gospel and need to be baptized into Christ, we'd like to assist you. If you're here as a Christian and there's something you need to straighten out in your life, if it's of a private nature, make it right with God and go on to live right. If it's something that involves public sin, you need to come and confess it in a public way. If that's your need, come as together we stand and sing.
What can wash away my sin?